we're so privileged, Lord, to have this opportunity to come together and to worship Thee in spirit and truth. And Father, we just ask that You would anoint Your speaker this morning and anoint the ears of Your hearers, that we might come in harmony, O God, with Thee. As the prophet said, our harmony is that we have the Word of God. We have thus said, Lord, all we would keep still. And so be with us, Father, as we open Thy Word this morning. And may You anoint it to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I'd like to move from our examination of the two vines. And to be very honest with you, I must be very careful concerning what I teach, because if we focus on any subject for too long, that focus can begin to influence the way that we live and react to others in a way that we can lose our balance if we're not too careful. Then you find yourself becoming too hard in your spirit against those who would appear to be in opposition to what God is showing you. And I don't wish to be at odds with anyone who loves this message and holds to it. So we're going to switch gears here. We've been studying twins for 3 months at least. I think 20-some sermons on it. And I just felt led to go back to the unveiling of God and read from the next paragraphs. And so I do feel have a great responsibility, more than you're aware, because thousands of brethren around the world are reading my sermons, which are translated into 13 languages. Now they're beginning the 14th language, which is the Moor language. And in addition to Burkina Faso, where that's the main language, the neighboring countries of Ivory Coast and Ghana, where many of the Mossi people have emigrated. And then marginally is also spoken of in Mali, Benin, Togo, and Niger. So the kind of the Western Africa is going to be opened to this. I didn't put it up there yet because I don't have any scriptures to read it at this time. In fact, I'd just like to just share some of the stats the first 8 months. The pages downloaded so far in the last 8 months is 186,869, which basically is 779 per day. And that would be 374 reams of paper, which, if you're familiar, is about 3 inches tall, 500 per ream. So that'd be about 93 feet tall so far. The unique visitors, which is different from visitors. Now, the visits we have, we've had 84,653, which is 353 visits a day. But the unique visitors is 35,061. That's unique IP addresses. So 146 per day average. And then the hits, we're averaging 1,354 hits per day. So a hit would be coming on basically at one page. Then the pages is something that they download, and then the visits is actually, you know, when a person just comes to the site, whether they look at anything or not. And the visitors is the IP address of those coming to the site. So it's still, we're still seeing quite a bit of daily activity. In fact, this morning, I noticed this morning, just in one of the sites, we had 36 already this morning. And we have two sites. We have the .net and the .com site. Now, with this in mind, this morning, we're going to continue in our study of Brother Ram's sermon, The Unveiling of God. And we're going to read from paragraph 76 through 107, but we're not going to get through all that today. In fact, I actually had for this morning, well, we have 22 pages here, but we're going to try to get through. I had, in between 76 and 107, we've got like 60, 70, 80 pages of notes. So just bear in mind with me, we're just going to take it slow. Now here we pick up where Brother Brown is beginning to speak about the veil or the vessel and how God uses that veil that He chooses. But before we read, I want you to never forget that Brother Brown taught, Brother Veil taught us concerning the vessel, where he said, get your eyes off the vessel and get them on the God who is using the vessel. Amen. Now, the reason I say this is because when God uses a vessel or a veil to speak through, we must never forget it is never the vessel or the veil which God uses that should be, that our focus should be upon, but rather the God who's using the vessel. Otherwise, you end up in idolatry. You end up worshiping the man or the creator rather than the creator. I mean, the creation rather than the creator. Now, the purpose of the veil or vessel God uses is for God, who is invisible, to use something that is visible to declare himself and make himself understood. But the danger lies in the fact that when people see the invisible God do things through a visible veil or vessel, usually human, they have a tendency to worship the veil or vessel, and this God doesn't like at all. Therefore, if we do not keep what Brother Bell taught us in mind, we could get carried away with some things that we are going to read and go off the deep end and begin to worship the Creator or the creation more than the Creator, as the Apostle Paul warned us in Romans 1:20. He said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, the only way that invisible things can be understood is by God using something made, which is visible. And he uses it in such a way that you know for certain man cannot do those things, and therefore you know for certain that it has to be God doing it. Yet the trouble is that God himself is invisible, and so to make himself understood to his visible creation, he uses something that is visible also, a veil or a vessel, so that man can see with his eyes and hear with his ears what God wants for him to see and hear. And in doing so, if man is not careful, he will not keep separate the veil or the vessel from the God who's using it. And that is when men get into trouble with God, because they tend to transfer their worship from the invisible one to the visible veil. And that becomes idolatry. We must never do that. That's happened in this message. People have actually made Brother Branham God, or they try to make him God. You can't make a man God, but they try to do it. And they try to make the flesh deity. You can't do it. They try to make the flesh of Jesus deity. You can't do it. Brother Branham said, the flesh is not deity. You see? Now notice what Paul continues to say, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. So when you take the Creator or the creation God is using as a blessing to the people, and you begin to use that and to change that into God or the object of your worship, now what you've done is you've actually you've changed the truth of God into a lie. All right. Remember, Brother Brown taught us that, and it's in the scripture, that when God had given Israel the serpent on the pole, it was given as a blessing for the people that could look and live. Yet when the people began to idolize that, God had the same prophet that gave it to them tear it down and break it to pieces. God will not share his glory with anyone. That's why when Brother Vail he just felt led to call on Brother Branham. He drove down, and Brother Branham had been laying on his bed for 3 days because they had struck a medal to him, making him God up in Canada. And Brother Branham was just laying there, just crying and just tears back and forth. And Brother Vail walked into his room. And in fact, Sister Mita said, "He's not allowing anybody but you. He wants you to come in." And he just said, "Brother Lee," he said, "I failed God, I failed God, I failed God." His head going back and forth like this on the pillow, tears coming out of his face. Just looked at Brother Vail, said, "Look, just emaciated." And so Brother Vail said, "What's happening?" He said, "Well, they've made me God. They struck a medal saying that I'm the Lord Jesus." And he said, "I failed God." He said, "No, Brother Brown," he said, "you didn't fail God. If they didn't do that, then I'd have to wonder about your ministry. They've got to do that. It's in the scripture. They will do that." You know, even in the book of Revelation, John himself fell down to worship the prophet. All right? He said, "Don't do it. Don't you do it. I'm just one of you. I'm just one of you, one of the brethren of the prophets." You see? But this is the problem that, you know, they always have to have, like in the days of Daniel, you know, Nebuchadnezzar erected a statue to Daniel. Now, that statue was actually the name of that statue was the same name that Nebuchadnezzar had named Daniel, Belteshazzar or something like that. Well, anyway, so they were commanded to worship it. And the only three that wouldn't worship it were the elect, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, "We're not going to bow down to an image. God's the invisible God. We're not going to bow down to Daniel or any, I don't care if he's a prophet of the age. We're not going to bow down to him. We bow down to God." You see? And so it's happened in the ages, and he says, look, when they do that, they change the truth of God into a lie. So how do they change the truth of God into a lie? They worship and serve the creature, the veil, the vessel, which can be seen, more than the invisible creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So as Brother Vail said, don't ever get your focus on the vessel. Get your focus on the God who is using the vessel. Because God changes vessels. He changes veils all the time. So see, by worshiping the thing that is made instead of the one who made it, they go into paganism, like adultery. And this morning, actually, we're going to see that the idolatry is when the people worship the anointed vessel instead of the God who anoints that vessel. That's why Brother Vail always warned us to get our eyes off the vessel and onto the God using the vessel. Therefore, as we begin to read from the unveiling of God, keep your focus on the God who is using the vessel rather than the vessel itself, because if you do not, you may begin to merge the vessel, which is a creation, together with God who is the invisible creator. And when you do this, you lose your balance, as did the Oneness Pentecostals, who got confused by the vessel and ended up making Jesus and God one, like your fingers one. Brother Brown says that's absolutely wrong. The Oneness Pentecostals are just as far wrong as the Trinitarians are wrong. Okay? So too will you begin to make a prophet of God, God himself, just like your fingers one. And that's when you go into complete delusion. Now notice Brother Bram said, in paragraph 76, this is where we're going to begin. Now the natural veil, and remember, the natural veil is the creation, it is not God. God, the word, veiled in human flesh. What was it? God was veiled in Moses. God was in Moses, veiled. In other words, Moses was the creation, the natural veil, that God veiled himself in, and the presence of God was in him. Now before you get carried away with this, listen to how he describes or ascribes God being in Moses. He was so perfect with that word in him. Like that. Till he had to veil his face, and it was a vindicated prophet that unfolded the word and told them, thou shalt not, etc. Now before we go any further, let's just see what Brother Bram is saying from the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 to 35, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he come down from the mountain, that Moses wist not or understood not that the skin of his face shone, it glowed or radiated, while he talked with them. When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. It glowed, it radiated. And they were afraid to come near him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh near and gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in the mount. And until Moses had done speaking with them, he put on a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel which was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. It glowed, it radiated. And Moses put the veil upon his face until he went in to speak with him. Now, so here we see that Moses had been in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and nights, and being in the presence of the Shekinah glory, that pillar of fire, which is the presence of God, and he was there for such a long time that the Shekinah presence actually still glowed from Moses' face when he came back among his own people. Now, let me just make this simple so that you won't fail to see this. How many of you have ever stood close to a bonfire, and while you were there, your face reflected the light of that fire? Have you? Okay, so you can understand what I'm saying. Now picture yourself there for such a long time that when you come into the house, your face looks all reddish as though your skin was slightly burnt. Have you seen that? Okay, many times. How many of you have ever witnessed that? All right. When your face is in that condition, you can say that your face still shows the effects of the fire, right? Well, this is what happened with Moses. He had been in the presence of God, the pillar of fire, and he had been there for such a long time that his face, actually, when he came among the people, it actually still reflected what had been in front of him. In fact, as Brother Vail taught in 1983 and 84, he taught it twice. It's called the 20th Century Omega Reflection. And we're going to get into that just a little bit this morning, but where when Paul says, behold, we stand looking in a glass, and we see the glory of the Lord. All right. Now, the looking glass he's talking about is a mirror. Now, when you stand before a mirror, all right, turn off all the lights, you stand before the mirror, you don't see anything. You don't see anything. Now, put a little crack in the door, say, put the light on in the hallway, open the door, and you begin to see, just through that little light coming in, you begin to see a glimmer of a reflection off of your face, off your shirt. If you're wearing a white shirt, it'll reflect first, all right? And the more light it shines, the more image we'll see. So what you're seeing is you're seeing light, variations of light, all right? And that's exactly what they saw when Moses came down. And as Brother Vail said in that message he preached, that the people would have just stood there long enough, they would have begun to reflect the same thing Moses was reflecting. So if you just lay in the presence of the sun, you will begin to reflect the same image that William Branham reflected. He stood in the presence of the pillar of fire. All right? It changed his life. It will change your life. Now, when Moses, he had been so long in God's presence, God's Shekinah glory, the great pillar of fire, it actually reflected from his face the presence of God. Now, that was God veiling his word in Moses. Yet that did not make Moses God. And this is the point I want to make here this morning. We must never forget the vessel or veil that God uses is still a creation of God. And God alone is a creator who alone is worthy of worship. Now, the Apostle Paul speaks to us in this situation over in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. He says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" Notice the Apostle Paul is telling us here that we are not like the world, where they need letters of recommendation or letters of commendation, or even letters to introduce themselves to others. But in fact, he says, our ministry is not like that. He says, God does not operate that way. But in fact, he says, in the very next verse, he says, you are our written epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, and notice here, ministered by us, but written not with ink. No, that's not how God does it. But with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Now notice his language here. He is saying, we don't need letters from our organization telling you about us, but we do have letters of commendation. But they have not been penned in ink, but rather God has allowed us to use the Holy Spirit to write into your hearts his word in such a way that you bearing the markings of God's word in your heart and in your life. People look at your life and they say, my, but I see Christ in your life. And you are no doubt a Christian. And I can tell it in your life. And Paul says, that was my ministry. And God has given me the ability to use his Spirit to etch his word into your hearts in such a way that it has changed you and it is visible to everyone. And God has trusted me with his Spirit and his word to do just that. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, when he says in verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, we just don't get up here and pound, pound, pound doctrine. We don't just get up here and get into theology. We get up here and we present the word of God, and hopefully in the way that we live, in the way that we present it, you'll see Christ. And then when you do, you begin to reflect that same thing. So he says, it is not the written word that is etched into your flesh, but rather it is apparent that the very Spirit, the very life of that word has been etched into your very being, and you now reflect the life of the Holy Spirit in your mortal vessel. And he says, this grace has allowed us to do this for you, we have not anything to do with it, but rather Christ working in us both to will and to do, that it might be that our sufficiency is of God and not of ourselves. Because it is God working in us both to will and to do that hath made us able ministers or ministers who are able to infuse you with the very life of his word. And not the letter only, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. You see churches where, you know, they're so into a certain doctrine that they just fight all the time. That's not what this is about. This is about the life of Christ, living that life, living that doctrine. You see, you can have the doctrine of Christ mentally, and you can fuss over the way, the structure, and how it's laid out. But if you don't have that life, what good is it going to do you? like Brother Bill told me, you know, one of the last few words that he spoke to me, he said, Brian, he said, we've got the doctrine, we understand the doctrine, but the people have got to have the life, or they're not going to make it. You've got to live it. The Holy Spirit has got to be, Brother, the token must be displayed. The life has got to be displayed. When the Holy Spirit comes through, or sends his angel through, you know, just like the two women. Remember, the two women were healed in a meeting, but they still had their visual attributes of their sickness. But they kept claiming it for 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, the angel of the Lord came through their neighborhood, saw their claiming it, and then brought forth the healing. You see, just like the man that was blind, and he's a newspaper salesman, and he was prayed for in the meeting, and so he would say, you know, extra, extra, read all about it. You know, I was blind, but now I see. And he's still blind as far as everybody else could see. And so he was testifying in the barber chair about this when all of a sudden his eyes opened up. And this is a few days after the healing services were over. So you see, it's your testimony. He's the high priest of your confession. All right? Your confession, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what you are. That's who you are. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So your confession is only a representation of what you are inside. All right? So, and that's the expression that people see. That's the veil, like, that's the, like Moses, they could see it in his face. Okay? They could see the presence of the Lord. All right, now. So, he says it is not the written word that is etched into your flesh, but rather it is apparent that the very spirit, the very life of that word has been etched into your very being, and you now reflect the life of the Holy Spirit in your mortal vessel. And he says, this grace that has allowed us to do this for you, and to you, and has nothing to do with you, but rather is Christ working in you. All right? And then he goes on to tie this thought with what happened with Moses and with Brother Branham, and in which Brother Branham is speaking to us about in this portion of the unveiling of the veil. So we're going to get into this. We're Brother Branham beginning to talk about the veil, how God uses the veil. But I gave you kind of an introductory here because I want you to understand, get your eyes off the veil. Because if you're focused on the veil, you're going to say, oh, well then that veil is God. That William Branham is God. And that's idolatry. All right? Then he goes on to tie this with, okay. So the Apostle Paul says, but if the manifestation of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? In other words, if that which condemned men was glorious, those two tables of stone were glorious, what about when the Spirit comes to set us free? And the life of the Word is released, as it was on Calvary. In other words, if the ministration of the law was so glorious that God reflected from the face of Moses when Moses stood in his presence while he wrote on tables of stone the commandments of God, how much more glorious will it be when God allows us to use his Spirit to impart his very life into your mortal being? That's what Paul is saying. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, be doxa, much more doth the ministration of right wiseness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, if you've got a little 30-watt light bulb, and you put that in contrast to one of those daylight light bulbs, you know, those day bright or daylight. It's like looking at the sun versus looking at the moon. In other words, you think it was a glorious thing for Moses to reflect the Shekinah glory when he stood in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, and that when he brought down two tables of stone that had the letter on it, the law, in which men still had to make sacrifices for because they just could not live what the law called them to do, how much greater will it be when the Holy Spirit will bring forth a ministry that will not only etch into tables of stone the letter of the law, but when the Holy Spirit himself comes, he came down at this hour, you see the picture over Brother Branham. Remember, Revelation chapter 10 says his feet were as pillar of fire. So the feet of God is above the head of Brother Branham in that picture. It's not, oh, here's Brother Branham, the great. No, Brother Branham said, I was privileged to have my picture taken with him. You see? It's not about William Branham. This message is not about William Branham. It's about God.
Amen.
All right? So, how much greater will it be when the Holy Spirit will bring forth a ministry that will not etch into tables of stone the letter of the law, but when the Holy Spirit himself comes and brings his glory, his doxa, his opinions, values, and judgment, and they will be etched into the very hearts of the children of God. See, that's what the spirit of Malachi 4 is all about. The spirit of Elijah. Brother Branham said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham was not the Elijah. No, he was a vessel that the Elijah used. And because his life was in harmony with the Elijah, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, he reflected the spirit of Elijah to us, and that was to change our hearts back to the doctrine of Paul, back to the apostolic fathers. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. And that's the problem today. For until this day remaineth the same vessel, and taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now remember, the veil was traditions and creeds. Traditions and creeds blinds the people from the reality of the presence of God. Because it's a tradition. It's a creed. It's not God. It has nothing to do with God. Now the Lord, he says, is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Like Brother Branham said, I can do anything I want to do, but you know what? All I want to do is please my Father. Because he had the same Spirit that was in Jesus. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. But we all, with an open face, that's no veil upon our hearts and minds, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I pick up my Bible, and I read about the life of Jesus Christ, the eldest son in a vast family of brothers, knowing that he is a pattern. And I begin to change in my life. My opinions change. My visage changes. I don't wear the Fu Manchu mustache like I used to do when I was in college. And, you know, I don't have the hairstyle. Of course, that's kind of natural. You've got to take care of that. But I don't have, the blow comb hair look, you know. All those things change as I look into the mirror of the Word. I am changed from image to image and glory to glory. Doxa to doxa, opinions to opinion, his opinion, from my opinion to his, from my values to his values, from my judgment to his judgment, you see? So, the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image. Whose image? His image. From glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, remember this, glory is his doxa. So, it says here we are changed from our opinion to his, from our values to his, from our judgment to his. So, we see here that Moses reflected the giver of the law. So, we are ordained to reflect the giver of life, of the Word. All right? Not of the letter killed. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in what day that this is going to happen, when there shall be changed from image to image and glory to glory. He says in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-12, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So that speaks of this hour. Notice that the Apostle Paul tells us there's coming a time when the revelation of Christ shall begin with his being revealed or manifested as he comes from heaven with his angels. This picture we have of the cloud is a picture of what Paul is speaking of, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which begins with the Lord descending with his angels. The Lord, remember, the Lord descends with a shout, a voice, a trump. The shout, Brother Branham said, is the message. God brings it down. It wasn't something, well, Brother Branham said, you know, I read my Bible. I think that's a good point. I think that I'll preach on that. No. When he was preaching the seals, he said, I almost made a grave mistake. I've been studying, what Larkin and all these other guys said about this seal. And he said, boy, he said, but I didn't have anything because the angel hadn't met me yet. And I was going to go up there. And all I could say is what I already had read, and it sounded good to me. And he said, that would have been a great mistake. It would have been wrong. See, so the angel corrected him. All right. So, Notice that in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them, flaming fire, pillar of fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this taking vengeance shows it will be the judge coming to execute judgment against all those who do not know God, who do not have an experiential relationship with Him, because that word knowing is the Greek word ginoko, and it means an experiential knowledge, and who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He tells us their punishment will be to be excluded from His presence, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgment of His power. Remember, the power of God is the gospel of Christ, okay? So, Romans 1:18, the power of God is the word of God. Now, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, that's endoxazo, meaning in, the N, notice the N there, N, it means in, doxa, is the opinions, values, and judgment of God, and Zoe. So, in the life will be the doxa of God. It'll be expressed, like Paul coming down and his face glow. Okay, go back to 2 Corinthians 3. When He shall be glorified in His saints, in that day, when His glory, His doxa, will be magnified in their life and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony, the gospel of Paul, was believed in that day. Remember, Brother Branham said, I only preach what Paul preached? People said, we're counting that, Brother Branham. And Paul's gospel then believed in that day. All right. Wherefore also we pray always for you that God, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith, which is revelation with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified and doxazo in you. All right, and you and Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's just go to paragraph 77. He says, to give His word to that generation, He veiled Himself in a human being, or the word would have blinded even the called out. Notice He's still talking about, it's not the physical person of God that was in Moses. There's only one person that the presence, that the personal fullness of the Godhead was in, and that was Jesus Christ. Not even in Brother Brown. He said, I've got a measure, you've got a measure. But Jesus had it without measure. He was the image of the invisible God. All right? So, He says, to give His word, remember, God is the word, in the beginning was the word is with God, the word is God. He gave His word to that generation. In order to give His word to that generation, He veiled Himself in a human being. So, what was veiled in Moses? The word. Now, you see how it's coming down to this day? What's veiled in you? It's the word. The word. So, what does he mean here? What Paul is saying is that if the invisible God would have spoken audibly to the people and appeared directly to them in the pillar of fire, they would have been so blown away that they would not have been able to catch what Paul, what God wanted to give them. So God cloaked Himself in a human veil, a vessel of flesh, so He could make Himself more approachable to them, more on their own level. In other words, to have that pillar of fire come out visibly, if that pillar of fire would have been seen by all the audience, it would have caused them to go to their knees. Then they wouldn't have heard what Brother Brown had to tell them. So God hid Himself, except it came through the camera. All right? Because the camera don't lie. It came through the camera. Well, now that's before they could alter pictures. Now in today's technology, today, if that were to happen today, they'd just say, it was, well, somebody just put that in there. You see? So God made sure these things happen before the technologies all changed. Now, from paragraph 77, see, even the people that was out there, they could not stand to see that. In Exodus, we find that they said, let Moses speak, not God. See why the pillar of fire don't appear too much? See, God said, I'll do that. I'll raise him up a prophet. Amen. I'll raise him up one. And he came just exactly. I'll raise, and he will be the word. He said, if they want to see what the word is, said, now Moses, I appear to you yonder in the burning bush, said, I'm going to come down and set that mountain afire. Said, they'll see that you've told the truth. I'll appear here in the same burning way. I'll appear here and prove to the people. I'll vindicate your ministry. That's what he told Moses here in so many words. Paragraph 78. Now notice he said, now I'm going to glorify you before the people. Said, now you told them that I met you out here in the burning bush. Now I'm going to come down, same fire, and I'm going to let the people see that you never lied about it. William Branham saw that pillar of fire, and now God let us have a picture of it so that we could see that he wasn't lying about it. It was there. All right? I'm going to let the people see that you never lied about it. You can scientifically prove it, even, if you want to. See, I'm going to come right down and let them know. And when he began to thunder, when Jehovah started thundering, the people said, no, no, no. Don't let Jehovah speak. We'll die. See, he had to be veiled. So God veiled himself in Moses and gave Moses the word. Remember, the Lord descended with a shout, not William Branham. It wasn't William Branham's message. It was God's message. That once he revealed it to Brother Branham and he began to speak it, now it becomes his message. Once you receive it and you begin to say the same thing, now it becomes your message. You understand? What is it? It's imparting life. You see, it's imparting life. So God veiled himself in Moses and gave Moses the word. And Moses came down and spoke the word of the Lord in a veil over his face. That's right. Jehovah veiled in the form of a prophet because it would have absolutely, and God said he wouldn't speak to them anymore like that. He would only speak to them by a prophet. That's the only way that he'd ever speak from then on. That's the only way that he's ever spoke. That's right. Never any other way. He don't lie. Now, this is important for you to understand. God is the word. And he veiled his word in Moses. It was not the person of God or the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Moses. That was reserved for one person. Remember, it wasn't God in Moses. It was his word in Moses. Because Moses stood there and God walked in front of him. And he said, I saw like the back of a man. So God wasn't in him. He was out here. All right. Like Brother Brown said, now you know who I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him. And many times say to a person, now you feel his presence, don't you? He's standing 7 feet from me. 7 feet. He's standing over to your right. You hear Brother Brown say those things. All right. Now, it was not the person of God or the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Moses. That was reserved for one person, Jesus the firstborn, because he was the only one in the very image of God. But it was God's word that was in Moses. God indwelt fully only one person, that was Jesus. Even Brother Brown said that he only had it by measure, but Jesus had it without measure. And Moses had just the measure of the word for the age in which he lived. So get out of your mind the idea that God, the fullness of God, was in the prophets. The fullness of God was in just one person, and that was Jesus Christ, the firstborn Son of God. But we can say that God's word was veiled in Moses, and since his words are spirit and they are life, we can say that Moses was veiled, God, or in Moses was veiled the God life as well. Because remember, my words are spirit and they're life. So it was the very life, the word, and the life that was in him. Now, notice what Brother Brown says next. Paragraph 79. Notice only Moses had the word. Now, there wasn't a group came down. There wasn't just the Pharisees or the Sadducees, and it wasn't a certain sect or clan. It was Moses. He got one man. He can't get two or three different minds. He takes one man. Moses had the word, and Moses alone. Joshua even didn't have it. No one else had it. Amen. Joshua was a general. Joshua was a commander of the army. Joshua was a believer, a Christian, but Moses was a prophet. And the word can't come to Joshua. It got to come to Moses. He was a major prophet of the hour. Notice the word never did come to Joshua until Moses was gone. No, sir. God deals with one at a time. God is one. See? Now, only Moses had the word, not a group. So, it wasn't... Look, the people, the whole United States, you know, they saw that picture in Life magazine. Notice Life magazine. All right? The life came down. They saw the picture in Life magazine. Nobody had a clue what it was. God's prophet did. He said, I was caught up into that cloud. Now, Brother Bill Tallwell, he had a picture that he had gotten original, one of the original, he got a copy made off the original that Dr. McDonald had in the lab in Arizona. And when you took a magnifying glass, you could actually see, if you get a real good copy, you can do it even on the, you know, the copies that we all have, which have been, you know, probably 1,000 times removed from the original. But you can actually see faces in those clouds. Faces in those clouds. Brother Brown said, I was caught up into there. All right? Now, none of us knew what was that, you know. And so people said, oh, Brother Brown just making that up. No, he wasn't. He was vindicated by God. Why would God vindicate a liar? Right? So, only Moses had the word, not a group. God came down with a shout. He gave the shout, the message, to William Branham. William Branham then declared the message All right, the Christ is here. He said, my ministry is to declare him that he's here. Now we receive it. Now we can share it. We can reflect it. All right. That is why we have no thought coming. We say what the tapes say, what the scriptures say. That's why you see my sermons. The red are, even when Brother Branham is speaking, his are all in blue. And when you see the red, it's because that's what the scriptures say. All right? So, you know, we separate that way. And then the black is just my comments in between to link the scriptures and things together. All right. Now, we try our best we can to tie them together to make you understand the message by this Bible, but we have not a message outside of what God has brought through one man, his prophet. And that is our white throne exoneration. We are just saying what he said and not adding our own thinking to it. All right? It's going to be a good thing when you go to the white throne judgment and all your words are played back and all the hours is either what he said or what the scripture says. You see? Hallelujah. Now, paragraph 80. Look, God warned any person not to try to follow Moses into that veil. Impersonators. See? Woman, man, priest, whoever it was, how godly, how much honor, how much they was, he warned, let Moses come alone, and if any man, even an animal, touch it, must be killed right there. Never break before the veil. That veil belongs to one person, that message is one. See? In the temple, one man went in once a year, anointed and fixed, to go in, not to bring out the word, but to offer blood, to even walk in there before it, only one, any other man, died. So that pillar of fire, see, now he's talking about a different veil here. He's talking about Moses as being a veil, but God had been veiled in the pillar of fire, and then God used Moses, he veiled his word in Moses. Now he's going back to the pillar of fire. He says, any other man try to claim that pillar of fire for him, he's gone. I've seen ministers rise up in this message who had some kind of a dream, and in it, Brother Branham told them that they can change some of the message, and to me, that doesn't line up with the word. Paul said in Galatians 1:69 that if a man or even an angel from heaven comes and brings anything other than what I have taught, let him be cursed. And I showed you a few weeks ago several quotes from Brother Branham where he said he only taught what Paul taught. So if Paul taught the parousia of Christ, which he did, there's 23 scriptures, and Jesus did it, and Peter did it, and John and James did. If William Branham did not teach the parousia of Christ, then he would be cursed. But he did. The problem is, he was speaking to English speaking people, so he didn't use the Greek word. He used the English equivalent, which is presence. All right, and he used it more than 4,400 times, and other equivalent expressions like the appearing before the coming. And Brother Branham said in paragraph 81, they spiritually die right now. This is a spiritual veil. See, that was a natural veil. This is a spiritual veil. See, they keep walking right on in behind there. You can tell them, oh, I know that, but I go ahead. Go ahead. It's all right. It only speaks. You remember the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus? The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Then they'll be cremated and turned back to dust, and the righteous will walk out on their ashes. But the last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word. Now, rejecting the word is the evidence the person is spiritually dead. All right? Now, paragraph 82. Now, notice God warned any person not to try to follow Moses into the veil of fire. Moses was to be veiled. He had to come out of there. Moses went in as Moses, went into the pillar of fire, and when he walked back out, he was veiled. For he went into there out of his traditions and traditions of the elders. He saw the pillar of fire, but now he goes into the pillar of fire. See? Amen. And he come forth veiled, God's word in a man. So Brother Bam is landing snow right here that the veil of the God, the veil, the Moses, what went into Moses was the word. All right, God's word in a man veiled. Here he come walking out. Oh my, I can see it. Warned nobody else to try it. Nobody ever, even a person like that. You better not see. Even a priest or a holy man, whoever it was, cardinal, archbishop, anything else, tried to go into that veil, they died. God warned them, we'll have no impersonators. Now, this next statement Brother Ram makes is most important for us to understand. He says, paragraph 83, his word is revealed to one. It's always been. A prophet comes with the word of the Lord each age, every time, down through the scripture, the word comes to one. In every age, the same, even in the church ages, from the very first to the last. Others have their places. That's right. But you stay away from that pillar of fire. But stay away from that pillar of fire. See, what a lesson that we can learn. See, everybody wanting to be a Moses. You know, like one guy up here in Troy, Ohio. He goes around the world telling people, "Oh, I had a dream, and in the dream, Brother Brown came to me, gave me this little wand, a pencil, he called it, and I was able to just change scenes. I could go from mountains to the valleys. I could go from to the rivers just by flashing this wand across the sky." Ooh, you know. And Brother Brown told me, "I can change the message." Oh, really? Paul said anyone who changes it is cursed. So the man is admitting he's cursed. I don't care how many dreams you have. If it doesn't line up with the word, forget it. I don't care if it's a vision. Forget it. Remember, Mark. Satan appeared to Mark. He said, "Worship me, Martin." He had a crown on his head. Martin said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "The Bible says the saints shall crown him." He checked the vision by the word. Checked the dream by the word. See? He says his word is revealed to one. That has always been. A prophet came with the word of the Lord each age, every time, down through the scriptures. The word comes to one in every age the same. Even in the church ages, from the very first to the last, others have their places. That's right. Notice. But stay away from that pillar of fire. See, what a lesson we learn. See, everybody wanting to be a Moses and everybody. Now, we know by the scripture the word of the Lord comes to the prophets. And we know by the book of Amos that God will not do anything until he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. So when a minister comes teaching anything that God's prophet didn't teach, he is venturing without authority. You remember when Dathan and them said up there, they said, paragraph 84, they said, "Now Moses, wait here just a minute, you take too much upon yourself, see? Now there's other men here that God has called," that's true, that was true, "that each one were following fine as long as they went along. But when one tried to step up and take God's position that he gave Moses, which was predestined and ordained to that job, tried to take it, fire came down and opened up the earth and swallowed them right into it." See? Be careful. See? Just be a good, godly Christian, believing the word. See? And stay away from that pillar. What a lesson. 85. God had first appeared to Moses in the burning bush. God was veiled in the pillar of fire. Now listen real close now for a minute. God first come to Moses, he was veiled. God was in a pillar of fire, hid back in a bush, see? Like behind the skin, see? Back in the mercy seat at the altar, see? He is veiled. He's always veiled. And when he come to Moses, he was in a pillar of fire, veiled in the pillar of fire. But here before the people, God vindicated him by the same pillar of fire. So see, God appeared to Moses. Moses then came and told the people, "Hey, he's here." And he said, he sent me, he said, "I'm going down to deliver the people, but I'm going to use you as my mouthpiece." That's what God said. "Not Moses, you're going to deliver them. I'm going to deliver it. I'm here to deliver. But I'm going to use you, Moses." Alright? In other words, Moses saw the pillar of fire first, and then God allowed others to see it after Moses had seen it first and told the people about it. Just like in our day, God came down after meeting with William Branham. Then when he was baptizing on the Ohio River, the pillar of fire came down visibly, and many people saw it. Then he allowed a picture to be taken so all of us could see it who weren't there. But remember, that same pillar of fire that vindicated Moses led Israel into the promised land after Moses had gone off the scene. But not as a visible pillar of fire, as that he led them up to the promised land. Remember, he led them up to the promised land, then took Moses off the scene. So they were sitting right there at the promised land. So what was it that led them through? It was a captain of the Lord of hosts. It was the angel of the Lord. All right? I tried. I mean, I went through the book of Joshua. I could not find any place that the pillar of fire was there with the people at that point. It was the captain of the host of the Lord that met with Joshua. All right? Now watch. Are you ready? Because look, they were in. The book of Joshua is they're in. All right? The pillar of fire led them up to the promised land. Brother Branham said the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Alright? Now, watch. He says, 86, Are you letting your minds drift away up? He that got ears, let him hear. See, when God appeared to Moses, it was in a pillar of fire when he called him to his ministry. And Moses come and told the people about it. They couldn't believe it. Yet done the miracles and things, but this time he visibly, scientifically appeared and vindicated Moses' ministry to be the same God that spoke to him Because he appeared in the form of the pillar of fire and set the mountains afire, and he come to Moses in a bush, spoke to him. All right. 87. God's first appearing to Moses in the burning bush, the veil, before the people. God veiled again and vindicated Moses by the veil, by veiling himself with the same fire. Same pillar of fire came down from then. So they could only hear God's word. You get it. Just the word, they heard his voice. For Moses was to them the living word. Moses, see, God had so proven that word by Moses. See, God said to Moses, go down there, I'll be with you. See, that's his presence. Nothing's going to stand before you. I am that I am. Moses come down and said, you might not believe this, maybe, but God appeared to me in the pillar of fire and told me these things. Oh, we have all kinds of things like going on, Pharaoh said. Why, Pastor Pharaoh said, well, you got a cheap magician's trick. Why, I got magicians here that can turn a serpent into a stick, into a serpent. Come here, magicians, and they come over, and they've done the same thing. Moses, nothing bothered him. How many impersonates they had didn't make a bit of difference. Moses just stood still. But I wonder if Aaron, I would like to have seen the face of Moses and the face of Aaron when their magician's sticks did the same thing Moses did. I'd like to see Aaron, because listen, brother, Jesus said every one of them are dead, right? Brother Brown said that's eternal separation. Brother Brown taught us only three entered from that original group plus the children that were under 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea. Moses, Joshua, Caleb. Okay, where is Brother Moses' family? No, I'm not trying to make this 20th century, 21st century. I'm just saying, where's his family? Aaron, Miriam, they didn't make it. They died in the wilderness. All right. Be careful, brother, sister. Don't try to make any family, God's succession. I don't see anywhere in Scripture that God has a succession through flesh. Okay? God takes individuals. The prophet of the hour, William Branham, was the last vindicated prophet. Now, there's still going to be fivefold ministers, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Those are still there. But William Branham was the last messenger prophet. There won't be another. 88. Moses knowed nothing bothered him. How many impersonators they had didn't make no difference. Moses just stood still. The first thing you know, they crawled around a while, and directly Moses' snake just eat up the rest of them. See? Why? Now, like them apostles, they couldn't explain it. Moses didn't know how God was going to do it, but he was going to do it. Remember, he said, Jannes and Jambres will return in the last days, the impersonator, and will deceive the very elect, if possible. Matthew 24:24, see? Just exactly the same thing, do the same kind of miracles and everything. Watch that word. Watch that word. And a man say he does the miracles and still wants to believe that there's three gods and there's all these kind, and you get away from that. We know that's wrong. There's no such a thing. See, the word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Genesis, one word, over here said, don't take or add to one word. See, it's got to be that same word. See? Now notice the people seeing something that happened. Moses had been veiled as he was a prophet, and God had vindicated his word. Now, he went down there, and he seen signs and wonders, and then after his people got separated unto themselves, church, see, church means called out, see, after they were called out of the world and became a people, then God let himself be known that he was that pillar of fire. He proved Moses' message, see, he was a pillar of fire. They might have took the picture of it, I guess, if they'd have cameras, because it was all on fire. But they proved that God, proving that the message was right, the message was at hand, everything was, he was going to be Exodus then, veiled his prophet to this Exodus people. And I think it's interesting that in Moses' day, you know, they didn't have cameras, they didn't have cell phones, you know, because if they would have had cell phones and people would have taken a picture of the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of cloud by night, they could have sent it around the world and maybe the whole world be converted to the pictures. It wasn't for the world, it was for the people of Israel. And even so, many of those people that saw the pillar of fire, saw the cloud by day, or cloud by, pillar of fire by night, cloud by day, they perish in the wilderness. So what does it mean to be a witness of these things? It doesn't mean anything. It's all about God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. What is God doing? What has God done? What has he done for you and I? What's he doing to change you? See? Then God let himself be known that he was a pillar of fire. Notice, after they was called out of the world and became a people, see? Then God let himself be known that he was that pillar of fire. You see, that picture means everything to us, but it means nothing to the world. Nothing to the world. He proved Moses' message. See, he was a pillar of fire. They might have took the picture of it, I guess, if they had cameras, because it was all on fire. But they proved that God, proving that message was right, the message was at hand, and everything was, they were going to be Exodus then, veiled his prophet to this Exodus people. Notice, God veiled himself to the prophet in the pillar of fire, and then God veiled his word in the prophet. Now, paragraph 90. The people think, well, seeing something that happened to him, he was now different from the rest of the Israelites. He was different. His message was different. He was different from the priest. He was different from anything. See, he was a different person. The people seeing something that happened. God had veiled himself in his prophet to speak his words to them. That's what he had done. Moses was that living word to the people, veiled by the pillar of fire, speaking what was to be veiled later behind the badger skins. You see, that light couldn't have been... Is that... Well... Moses, that light was bright, okay? But Moses' face glowed. In other words, it showed there was someone, there was a light that was greater than him. And the light was reflecting off of him. All right? But that light was in a different dimension. But Moses was in this dimension. But the people saw that somehow he had an interdimensional understanding of the presence of God. And, you know, like Brother Branham, he was in and out of vision. And he was in and out of dimension. All right. Okay, 91. The word had to come from Moses first. See, Moses had the word. They were written by God. Nobody could interpret them. Moses had to interpret them first. That's the reason he veiled his face, because do you see it? See, here it is. Whenever Brother Rex says, here it is, you better listen, because he's explaining. All right. We could pick it, pack it up, and everything else there, but it's got to be revealed. In order to reveal, Moses had to become God to the people. You say, that's nonsense. Why? He even told Moses himself, you'll be God and Aaron will be your prophet. See? So here he comes. He had to veil himself because God's always behind a veil. Oh my, do you see it? God's hid from the public, said, Father, I thank you that you've hid it from the wise and prudent and revealed it to babes, that them that wants to learn. God hid behind the veil. Moses veiled his face. Moses was the living word veiled then. The people saw that pillar of fire, said, now we're satisfied. See, let Moses speak. See, don't let God speak, lest we die. Moses walked right into that pillar of fire. See, and said, now I won't speak to them no more like this. I'll give them a prophet. See, that's the way he always did. See, said, now let them. But this prophet has to have his word. If he's veiled with a tradition, God never sent him. If he's veiled with the word, God will vindicate it. God interprets his own word. Moses spoke to them. God interpreted them. Amen. Moses said, the Lord said so. In other words, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord did just what he said. That made it right. Now he said, now Moses, you understand, the people understands now. See, I have showed you. I vindicated you. Remember, the Bible says in I believe it's Psalm 101 or something like that, somewhere around there. It says, God made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Now, there's the people of Israel, they could see the things God was doing, but they didn't understand what God was doing. He made known his ways to Moses, the prophet, but his acts, the things that he did, he showed the children of Israel. Now, he said, now Moses, you understand, and the people understands now. Now, see, I've showed you, I've vindicated you. God had veiled himself in his prophet to speak his word to the people. Moses was a living God to them, the living word of God made manifest. That's the reason his face was veiled. See, and do you know the same thing in a genuine Christian is veiled today to the unbeliever? They see them women with long hair and things, and they say, look like an old model woman, twist up their hair on the back and got a flat tire, spare tire, you know. See, it's all veiled. They're blind. Well, they say, I got a PhD in LOD. I don't care what you got. You're still ignorant of the word. Exactly. Oh, that's just something minor. See, but just take the small lessons first. In other words, what he's saying, look, the word calls for a certain identification. The Christian woman, God says, I want you to dress modestly, and I want you to not cut your hair. So she dresses modestly, she doesn't cut her hair. All right, to the man, he says, you know, you're not to have long hair. You're supposed to be, you know, well-groomed, and you're not supposed to be wearing shorts and things like a woman, you know, like immoral things and things like that. You know, you're supposed to dress godly. And so the Christian man, he dresses godly. And what that is, that's the word in you that changed you, all right, to reflect that word, okay? So 94, how about the people who say, well, they're veiled in the presence of God and they preach some church tradition, oh, mercy, goodness, which adds to and takes from and everything else, like injecting their own subjects and their own thoughts and not the word of God. See, what kind of veil? That's got an ecclesiastical veil. So now we've seen the pillar of fire as a veil, we've seen God's prophet was a veil, now we've got an ecclesiastical veil. God tore that veil wide open. They say, well, there is no such a thing as prophets. There is no such a thing in these last days as apostles and prophets. There's no such a thing as divine healing. There's no such a thing as seers anymore. There's no such a thing as Mark 16 being fulfilled. Apostolic age is done. They veiled it from the people by God. But God walked right out with his Holy Spirit of fire and rent that thing from the top to the bottom. God has rent that veil. All right. Moses was the veil, the living word of God, veiled behind human flesh. The pillar of fire was in Moses. Of course, speaking what was to be veiled later behind skin. You see, now, that the word, now remember, the pillar of fire was in Moses. Listen, his face shone, his face reflected, his face, that pillar of fire was resounding in his presence, in his skin, okay? So, of course, speaking that was to be veiled later behind skin. You see, now that the word was brought forth, then it was written out, then it was put behind the still veiled, for God was always in that word. Amen. See, he's talking about the word being veiled. He's the word always. He was in that word. That's the reason the word had to be veiled. Oh, brother, sister, are you catching it? Look, don't you see? It's been veiled through these ages according to what God has said, and it would be opened in the last days. Those seven seals would be broken. The full thing would come into view of the people. What took place all along, the hour of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God should be made known in that Elijah, in that last hour, how that God is put out of the church as Son of God. Now, he's revealed as Son of Man again, how that the church is to be put in order and everything for the last day, no creed, no denomination, just absolutely the Word living in the individual. I'll take one, I'll leave one. I'll take this one, I'll leave that one. See, there's no strings, no denomination, no bindings or nothing. It's the heart with God and him alone. See? Notice, veiled in human flesh, Moses was that word, speaking what was to be later put behind badger skins. So is Christ our Moses. I'm not saying so is Jesus our Moses. He's talking about Christ. All right, we're going to get into that this evening, or this afternoon, you know, for communion service. We're going to look at the word Christ and all it has to do. So is Christ our Moses. Christ is our Moses. He was God veiled in human flesh, veiled in humanity in flesh. That's right. And he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He was veiled by badger skins. He was veiled. And this time he was veiled in a man. See, now notice, same yesterday, today, forever, promised word to this age. He's still Christ, the promised word to this age, veiled in human flesh. The word is God. So he's talking about the word. He's not talking about the person. He's not talking about the fullness of the Godhead was in Moses. He's talking about that word, the word, the word, the word, the word. God came down, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So God is the word, and he spoke that word. Moses received that word. That word took over his heart, just like it took over yours when you become a Christian. You used to do certain things, you don't do those anymore. You used to act a certain way, you don't act that way anymore. You used to have certain opinions, you don't have those opinions anymore. You have his opinions, his values, his actions. You see? All right. Then what is it? It's the word veiled in you. Just like it was veiled, God God in the pillar of fire, and then it came to Moses, and then it came to the people. It came to William Branham, came to the people. All right. So he says, Christ is our Moses. He was God veiled in human flesh, in humanity. That's right. And he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He was veiled by badger skins. He was veiled. And this time, he was veiled in a man. See, now notice, same yesterday, today, forever, promised word to this age. He's still Christ, the promised word to this age, veiled in human flesh. The word is God. Now, I think I'm going to leave off here this morning, because the next paragraph, Brother Brown, begins to turn a corner, and we don't want to start that and then stop short. So we'll come back this evening at 4 p.m. for community service and pick up where we're leaving off right now. But notice in this paragraph, he's beginning to turn from the veil. He's talking now about Christ. And he says, Christ is God. And the next paragraph, he says, and Christ, and the anointing is a person. We're going to look at that thought this evening. Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the words that you gave to your prophet to speak. For it is thus saith the Lord, or the Lord has said thus. And it came through the lips of a vindicated prophet, one that you vindicated to be true. And so, Father, we know the man certainly was a human. And certainly as a human, he could make mistakes in the flesh. He could say things or do things like he talked to the lawyer. He said, told his wife, tell him I'm not here. Things like that. He made mistakes. We all do. But yet it was your word, God, that was veiled in that badger skin, that human flesh. And so, Lord, we're looking at that veil. We're looking at the anointing that was in the man, and that anointing is the Word. And so we want to recognize, Father, how then that this anointing through your Word, the life of the Word, as Paul said, it's not the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So it's the Word that lays within the Spirit that lays within the Word, the life that lays within the Word. That's what we're interested in, Father. And so we ask that you'd help us, Lord, tonight as we come back to look at these things, and truly may that word which was in the prophet, came to the prophet, was in the prophet, may that come into us. And may the life that was transferred from God to the prophet, may that same life be transferred to us through the spoken word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Now I realize these things Brother Brown is saying are very, very deep. Very hard for many to understand, but you just be praying that God will really open your hearts and your mind, and that you'll see what it's all about, what he's talking about. Amen. Let's just sing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee.